Welcome to the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency, helping you do more and be better. And now here's your host, Zachary Sexton.
You are tuned into the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency. My name is Zachary Sexton, and today I have with me Mike Schmitz.
Hey, Zach.
And Tan Pham.
Hey, buddies. How are we doing today?
We are doing well. I'm doing well. How about you, Mike?
Yep. I'm excited to talk about systems today.
Yeah, I bet you are. You're just a systems guy. You've got a personal systems webinar, which we're going to tap some of that knowledge that you have done creating that. But we are going to be talking about simple systems today. And this is basically so you can do more with less effort. So the idea behind simple systems is pretty, well, simple. It's basically doing everything you can to rely less on your memory and start having things set up in a way where actions will happen without you having to think much at all about doing them. So a while back, Tan, you wrote an article about the different types of simple systems, and there's three different types. Would you mind going into those three different types and maybe give an example of each of them?
Yeah, so I wrote this post a while back that talks about, like, I kind of called like the three levels of systems for people's productivity. And I've never seen this concept like really explained anywhere else. But I think if I go through the examples, everybody will sort of understand it. And it kind of makes logical sense, right? So the three systems are the low level, you have habits. The second level is rituals. And then the third level is what we call personal systems, right? So that's kind of a phrase that we sort of coined to sort of like show you what the levels of systems are for people's productivity. So at the very base, as you mentioned earlier, Zach, when it comes to simple systems, what we really want to do is just rely less on memory and more on things happening automatically without you having to think about it. So the first word that usually comes to mind then is, you know, in the simple term, is a habit, right? A habit is something you do unconsciously. It happens automatically. You just do it. And it's usually one simple thing that you do, whether that is, you know, drinking water or, you know, flossing your teeth a certain way or whatever. A habit is just one very specific thing that you do. Now, the next level is a ritual, right? So a ritual can encompass multiple habits in one thing. And then also what makes rituals really powerful is that they are very specific and are pretty much step-by-step laid out on what you need to do. So for example, a morning ritual is a really good example of this because a morning ritual can have the habit of drinking water. It can have the habit of flossing your teeth. It can have the habit of meditation, and so on. So a ritual can contain multiple habits at once, but also it's very specifically laid out and it has all these other different components that we talk about all the time in our rituals course. So that's like the next level. And then beyond that, we have what we call personal systems, right? So a personal system is something that is really almost like automated in a way, and it helps you get stuff done. And it's almost like having rituals working for you, right? So a simple example of, let's say, drinking more water. Let's take that example. So in the post, I talk about, okay, if you want to drink more water, you can go through these three steps or three levels of systems, right? So you can have the habit of drinking more water, which is really more of an intention, which is like saying to yourself, I want to drink more water, and maybe you'll just grab a cup, and then once a day, you'll figure out when to do it, which is, you know, totally fine, better than nothing, right? Then the next level is, okay, how can you create a ritual where it will force you to drink water and execute that ritual? So when it comes to rituals, you want to be very specific, right? So you want to say, for example, I'm going to drink a glass of water every hour, or I'm going to drink a glass of water at 9 a.m., at 12 o'clock, at 3, and at 6, right? So you can get very systemized and specific with that. Now, when it comes to personal systems, you can go even beyond that and say, okay, I'm going to have a delivery service company deliver water bottles every single morning, 5 bottles that I need to finish every single day, or they'll deliver it once a week like I have. I have a service that I use once a month. And that is all systemized. I know every 4 weeks, this company delivers like these huge jugs of water to my apartment. And all I have to do is, you know, just accept the water bottles, make sure it's all filled up. And I have all these like little rituals and systems in place now to take care of everything else so that I know that as long as I keep filling in this little jug that I have every morning, then I know I drink enough water every single day. So that's when you start to have more of a system in place to make sure that you pretty much drink enough water.
Sweet. Well, thank you for explaining the difference. So we've got three different levels. Basically, your habits are the base level, just doing one thing. The rituals, you can stack a bunch of habits together for a bigger system. And personal systems just make it completely inevitable because it's either some sort of company or outside force, maybe an application, has automated most of the thinking or the remembering for you. And Mike, I was hoping you'd get into the idea behind the systems mindset, and then also maybe talk a little bit about why we don't want to rely on our memory for doing things, especially things that we want to do consistently.
Sure. Well, the reason you don't want to rely on your memory is that you can't trust it. And actually, David Allen's Getting Things Done probably has shed the most light on this topic for me. But he talks a lot about the cognitive load that you have to bear when you don't write things down and you don't have those systems in place. The subtitle of the book is The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. And I know from personal experience that it's really stressful trying to remember all the things that you have to do, where you're supposed to go, what time you need to be there. So having a system reduces the amount of stress and the amount of it frees up your cognitive resources to focus on more important things. We don't really realize it, but when we don't have those systems, those little things, they're really cognitively demanding and they reduce our willpower and our mental capacity a lot. And one of the things that I share in some of the webinars that we do, one of my favorite studies that was ever done is by Ray Baumeister, and he did the willpower study where he had two groups of people that he brought into a private room. And the one group of people, they brought them in one by one, and there was a plate of cookies and a plate of radishes. And the one group, he said, you can go ahead and eat the cookies. The other group said, he said, you can't eat the cookies, but you can eat the radishes. And after a short amount of time, they would take the people one by one to another room down the hall and ask them to solve an unsolvable puzzle. Well, the people that were allowed to eat the cookies gave up after about 20 minutes. The people that were told that they could not eat the cookies gave up after about 8 minutes. So it really illustrates the fact that just something simple like that, like resisting the urge to eat the cookie for a short amount of time, can significantly reduce the willpower and mental capacity that you have at your disposal. And that's why people like Mark Zuckerberg and Steve Jobs, and they would wear the same thing every day. They would set their clothes out the night before and they wouldn't even ever have to think about what they were going to wear. So that's an example of a system. It also sucks your memory. You'll make tiny little mistakes that are going to give you subpar results. So developing a systems mindset is recognizing this, recognizing that you're not at your best if you're trying to do it on the fly. And it's taking a step back. It's like getting outside and above so you can change your perspective and being able to see your life and all the different pieces in a series of pictures and diagrams so you can identify the inputs and then you can achieve some desired outputs. So a systems mindset is literally just if you do A, and if you do A plus B, you're going to equal C. And it's just recognizing those things and then using those to your advantage.
Yeah, and when you mention Zuckerberg or other famous CEOs, it actually made me think of administrative assistants or some sort of actual outside help that gets them doing the things that they need to be doing. You don't hear of any CEO of any major company without one or maybe multiple assistants. So you can outsource that this thinking to actual people. But what we're going to be talking about is a little bit more personal, how you can use either technology or services that are free or paid to actually do this for you. So if you don't have a business or you can't afford a personal assistant at the moment, we're going to teach you how to use this thinking, this series of diagrams and pictures on how to actually make actions happen with less reliant on memory and willpower to still take the actions that you want to take every day to get some of the compounding benefits of taking those actions. So, Mike, did you want to start off with a few of your your techie ones?
Sure. And actually, just going back to the systems mindset a little bit, kind of so people can understand like the big picture of it before we jump into the examples, really a systems mindset is recognizing the patterns that are already there. So Atan, I believe you've written about the three times rule previously. So if something happens and it produces a negative effect and you see that happen three times, we should figure out what is wrong with that system and we should fix it. And so from a computer nerd perspective, like a great example of this is something like Text Expander, where if you recognize that you are typing the same things over and over again, let's automate that and let's create a snippet for that. And the new version of Text Expander actually will even suggest snippets for you because it'll monitor what you're typing and it'll tell you, hey, you've typed this a lot. You should really create a system for this. And with Text Expander, it's so simple. You just type in the text that you want to expand, then you type the little abbreviation that you're going to use to actually fire that. But some of the ones that I use personally, for example, quick capturing on iOS. And this took me a while to get into this habit, but I have been using Drafts as the starting place for everything text-based on my iOS devices. So everything starts in Drafts because from Drafts, it's very easy to put it in the right place, but I can decide that after I'm done with it. Okay, so I don't have to get into start typing a text message, realize it's too long and it should really be an email. Most of the things that I capture in Drafts are either tasks, in which case they'll go to OmniFocus, or the reference material. I don't need to do anything with it right now. It's not actionable, so that would go to Evernote. Another thing I use, though, is an app called Quotebook, and that's where I just collect all the quotes from the books that I read or listen to. All right, so this system basically is me hearing something or reading something that I want to remember for later. I'll take out my phone, I'll open Drafts, and I will put text down, and I will then, after I get the text down, decide where to put it. So if it's a book, for example, I'll write down the quote. On the next line, I'll put the author, and then I will just press a button, and that will go straight to Quotebook. Okay? And I use Quotebook just because it's got a cleaner interface. It's easier to identify the specific sources of things, but you could really put it anywhere.
Oh, man. I'm so glad you said that. My basically app for quotes is Twitter. If I like a quote, I'll put it on Twitter. But then when I want to go back and look for it, I get lost in Twitter. So I'm going to be downloading right. That app right after our call.
Yeah, it's a few bucks, but it's really clean and I really like it. A more advanced example would be something like journaling. And we just did the journaling challenge. So I think this is really timely, but I have never been able to journal consistently. And so I recognize that. Why am I not journaling consistently? Well, it's because I don't want to have to go back to a list and figure out what are all the questions that I'm supposed to answer every time I need to journal. So what I did, and I'll actually put a link to this, you can download it if you want, but I have I use Launch Center Pro to launch different actions. And one of the actions that I have is a journaling template. So I can go to Launch Center Pro and I can launch this action and it will actually ask me a series of questions and I just put in my answers. So how do you feel right now? What are you thankful for? What time did you get up this morning? How many hours of sleep did you get? Those types of questions. And then once I'm done filling out all those prompts, what Launch Center Pro does is it actually pulls everything together into a markdown table and pastes it into a day one entry. So I now have a compilation of journal entries in day one, which are all in markdown tables, so they're really easy to see. And I can go back and I can search through those, and I've got that archive, that digital archive inside of day one. But the key for me was creating a system where even though I didn't want to search for the questions, I no longer have to. I just have to press the button and there's less friction and that results in me being more consistent in my journaling habit, ritual, whatever you want to call it.
Cool. Hey, Mike, would you mind, because it's such a visual thing, recording a quick video on that so we can put that in the show notes?
Sure, I can do that.
Awesome, because I would like to see that. And this is episode 75, so people want to see that. And if Mike actually has the time to do it, which it sounds like you do, go to theproductivityshow.com/75, and you can see that there. And that's awesome because I'm still in the debate of whether I'm going to keep with Evernote or go back to day one. There's a little bit of friction I had with day one that Evernote doesn't have, but I like a lot of the functionalities. And actually after episode 69 with Kendra Wright talking about all the benefits that day one has, especially for tagging certain events so you can look back on them with a lot more ease, it's a tough call. I've got some simple systems here as well. And one of them that I started with, and it's going to be coming out in a newsletter that I'll be talking about it in a little bit more detail, but it was a system for keeping up with people. I've moved a lot over the last couple of years. I recently moved first from Wyoming to Washington, D.C., and then from Washington to Colorado, and now from Colorado to Austin. And one of the problems that I was having is that I've met a lot of great people in all these different areas, but it's hard to keep up with them, especially some of my closer friends or family that I grew up with. It's easy to lose touch and let a weeks or months go by without ever giving them a phone call. So a system that I set up, and I would put this at rituals level. I wouldn't necessarily give it a three. It's not inevitable, but it is something that allows me to connect with people that I want to connect with, is having an Evernote list, just a little checklist of people that it's about 20 or 25 long that I would like to call on a regular basis. And on Saturday mornings when I let my girlfriend sleep in and I'm taking the dog for a walk, I'll go through that list and I will look for people that don't have a check mark next to it. And when I find somebody, I'll give them a call. And if they answer, we chat. If they don't answer, we don't chat. I almost thought about giving myself prompts, because sometimes when you just call somebody and you have no real reason to talk to them, that you know, you could be like, hey, what's going on? What's good? And you can stay at the little superficial level. But eventually I started realizing that once you call somebody once or twice with no actual motivation, it's kind of refreshing. It's like, oh, yeah, I just want to talk and hear how are you doing. A lot of friends are having kids now, so that's always an easy subject to talk about, because that's just a new part of a life that's always interesting. So that's one of my systems, but one of them that I would actually put at the personal systems level, where, like Tan was saying, that you don't actually have to think about it at all, it just happens automatically, is the Seize the Year New Year calendar. So I put this up in the middle of my living room, and it's just impossible to miss. So I know every month what I want the theme of it to be. I know that for the year what I want the theme of that to be. I know when events are coming up that are important to me. I know I've got 5 months until my first triathlon. So all these things are just automatically put in front of me. So instead of relying on some sort of habit to review my calendar, it happens automatically. So those are my two simple systems, not as tech heavy as Mike's, but still work pretty well. I don't need to rely on my memory to review my calendar, and I don't need to rely on my memory to call people up. And the last part of that Evernote little system was, once I've checked them all off, I just start to uncheck them. So then I just look for the boxes that are unchecked and I call those people up.
I like how we all have very different systems that we're talking about here. Like one super tech heavy, some not. I think that's really cool to see.
Yeah. What about you, Tan?
Well, the system I want to talk about is something a little bit unusual, but something that I think everybody can relate to, especially if you are somebody who shops online quite a bit and never leaves the house like I do. Then you're going to love this little system, which is basically how to track your packages. So if you have shopped on Amazon, you buy a lot of stuff online, you know what kind of a hassle it can be. Now, especially in my situation, I live in an apartment building. So a lot of times there's like two different systems going on here. Like sometimes UPS will deliver a package directly to my door. And those are usually when they're like important packages or they need to be signed off, that kind of thing. Same thing for FedEx. But then also there are packages who are that are not prioritized, and so they get delivered downstairs at the sort of like office section of the apartment building, and then I have to go into my package room and then sort of pick up my stuff there. So in the past, you know, my issue was always, I never know when a package arrived or if I have to go downstairs and find it or, you know, anything like that. And so I had to like log online, type in or find that email and then like, you know, check it on my computer or on my phone somewhere and then fizzle and find stuff. And it was just too much friction. So I thought, okay, three times rule. This has happened more than three times now. I got to figure out a way to create the system so that this friction point doesn't exist anymore, right? So I looked into different ways, and my first approach was to get text messages to update me on what happens with all my packages. So what's cool about, for example, USPS, so the post office, or UPS, is that you can sign up and register your address with them. And then anytime a package gets delivered through them and it has your address on it, you'll get a text message sent to you saying, hey, you know, this is the current status update of your package. So anytime now I order something, I get a text message from one of those companies that says, hey, you know, we just got your delivery. It's in this location now. Anytime there's an update, you'll get notified through text message. And since I have a specific plan where I have unlimited text messages, whether that's outbound or inbound, it doesn't really cost me anything. And it also doesn't cost anything when you sign up for those sites. So that's a really easy way to sort of get notified and be up to date on stuff. Now, the second thing is, this is something I added on top. So on top of the text messages that I get, you can also use specific apps to sort of keep track of all these like packages that you buy. Now, one of the things that I really wanted to have was to be able to forward emails, because usually emails contain tracking numbers to like an email address so that it will be automatically updated in an app. And surprisingly, when I was searching for stuff, most of the apps don't actually have this feature, which doesn't make sense to me. Like, I think it's a natural thing to have. And so that's why I settled on this app called Deliveries by JuneCloud. So when you get this app, it's mostly, I believe it's for Android too, but they have a Mac app, they have a web app, and they have iOS apps as well. And so what you can do is, in the past, you know, before this, I tried all these different apps, and then what you had to do is like manually copy the tracking link or the tracking number, paste it in the app, and then it will, you know, find where it is. But with Deliveries, what you can do is, if you set up the web app account, then all you have to do is email track or forward an email to track@junecloud.com, and it will automatically show up in your app. So now anytime I get an email with a tracking link, I can just forward that email to that specific email address and it will pop up in my app. So that way I can just, you know, literally just keep or stay posted on whatever is coming my way. If you want to, you know, go a step further, you can even create filters that says, you know, if there's this keyword in there, for example, tracking number is or tracking number, you can forward it as well. And the service is pretty good in terms of extracting tracking numbers. And it's kind of like if you've been using TripIt for tracking your flights and itineraries, it's kind of like that. The service is really good. You know, with TripIt, you can just forward emails to plans@tripit.com and it will be all sorted out in your account. And it's something very similar for deliveries when you use this particular service. And so now, anytime, you know, I don't waste time going downstairs anymore trying to figure out, okay, where's my package? Did it get delivered or not? Or asking people around in the building, hey, did UPS drop by already or anything like that? It's just like, okay, I get a text message right away when it's delivered. And now I know, okay, my package is there. I can go downstairs, grab it, and makes my life so much easier. So I highly recommend this simple system if you order a lot of stuff online.
Nice. Now I have another app to download.
So that's like $10 already right there for you.
Well, you know, if I can save thinking and cognitive demand, I'm going to make up that $10 by just being all that much smarter and better every day.
Yeah, which is an interesting point that you bring up, because a lot of times when we see a dollar amount, let's say, you know, Mike was talking about all these different apps like QuickBook, which is, I believe, $5. Evernote is free. The New Year calendar is, I believe, $20. Deliveries is like $4 or $5 on iOS as well. Don't let that number deter you from, you know, actually implementing a system, because if the system, like you sort of hinted, Zach, if it can free up like time and mental capacity, then you'll look back and say, oh man, that was totally worth it. And also when it comes to like more expensive stuff, like I know all of us initially had, I'm pretty sure at some point, hesitation towards like using something like OmniFocus, which is kind of expensive. But once you get into it and you actually use it and you create a system around it, it's like, oh man, that $80, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Like, so don't let those dollar numbers, you know, throw you off.
Well, when we were just talking about this the other day, I came to you with a bit of a problem that my girlfriend and I have, is that on Sundays, we spend so much of the day trying to prepare to have a great week that we often get to bed too late. And you asked me, well, what do you do during the day? And I listed off the things that I typically do, and one of them being cleaning the house. And I think that's probably the one that takes me the most time. You're like, well, you know, a service you could get is to have somebody help you with that. And I kind of push back, one, because it would be a little bit more expensive, and two, it's like, I actually don't mind cleaning. It's kind of nice to pick up and organize and sweep and dust things off. But he was just saying, well, Tan, you were just saying, well, maybe you can let me know what your argument was. And I think it's a very systems-oriented argument.
Yeah, like, just because you don't mind cleaning doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. So, like, when you are preparing for the week, what is more valuable? Spending 2 hours cleaning or actually having 2 hours of time to really focus on how you're going to prepare your week? Right? So if you just look at those units of time or value, then are you willing to spend, let's say, $50 to have somebody else help you clean your place for those 2 hours to have an awesome week? Or would you rather, you know, spend those 2 hours, you know, rubbing, scrubbing, cleaning stuff and save those $50? I think for most people, especially if you are a busy type of person and you have a lot of stuff going on, then the $50 makes, to me at least, a lot more sense to have somebody help you out and sort of alleviate that. And this is where sort of like a lot of like personal, this is a little bit off topic, but a lot of my issues with personal finance in general is that it comes from a scarcity mindset. The scarcity mindset meaning you have to save a lot of money, you have to save this, do this. And there's some good things about that, but there's also a lot of things and mental reframes that kind of like hold you back in a lot of ways, because yes, you do save $50 for those 2 hours, but is that $50 worth it for all the headaches you experience the next day, which is, you know, going to bed really late and waking up late the next morning, feeling groggy, not feeling like you had enough sleep? You know, would you pay $50 to never ever experience that feeling again? That's something you have to answer personally. But when I come from like an abundance point of view, I think, you know, I can create so much value, I can do so much better, I can feel so much better if I can free up that time. And that $50 is just, you know, it allows me to be the best version that I can be. And to me, that's totally worth it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who think that because they've been operating a certain way and they are still here, like they've survived, that it's really not that bad. But if you can switch your mindset, like you're talking about, Tan, and you can look at it from the perspective of the ideal, then you can really understand the value of creating those systems. And one of the things that we talk about in the systems webinar is the ability to think like a geek. So if you think about like two different people, one's a geek, one's not a geek, and they both have to do the same task over and over again, the geek at some point is going to get frustrated and write a script or figure out a system in a way to automate it. And at the point that that system is being implemented, the non-geek, that perspective, is not going to understand it. They're going to say, you are wasting so much time, so much money, whatever. Like, look at me. I'm just maintaining status quo, and it looks like I'm doing better than you are. But once that system goes into place and it starts functioning automatically, that's when the geek, the person with the systems mindset, really comes out on top, because now they have a way to do this with much less effort And in the long run, they're going to get further because they've adopted that different perspective.
Yeah. And I want to take it even a step further and say, going back to the whole argument of like, and this is something I know a lot of people will say as well, I don't mind doing this. Like, I don't mind doing the laundry. I don't mind doing the dishes. I don't mind doing this and that. Yeah, personally, for me, like, I don't mind doing my laundry either. I don't mind like steaming my clothes or ironing. Like, I actually enjoy it, and I'm kind of like weird in that way. And I like cleaning my closet and stuff, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Because one thing you got to keep in mind is that time is not an abundant resource. Time is scarce, right? So if time was an abundant resource, then it doesn't matter what you do because you have pretty much forever to do whatever you want to do. But since time is a scarce resource, you have to use it the right way. And with that in mind, that also means that you have to prioritize what you're doing because, again, time is a scarce resource, right? So in an hour or in a day, you have only 24 hours, right? So you have to prioritize what is something I'm willing to do, and most importantly, what is something I'm willing or not willing to do. And when you have that internal dialogue of saying, oh, I can do this, I'm totally fine with this, and you know, I don't mind doing this, what it's really saying is you don't prioritize the work that you do. And you sort of assume that time is abundant, but it's not. You have to prioritize every single day what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And only that way you can really get the most out of yourself. And as we like to say, do more and be better. And so if you can catch yourself saying that, you know, just think about, okay, what are something you are not willing to do and what is something you're willing to do, and figure out a system to do the stuff either faster, simpler, or have somebody else help you so that it frees up time for you to do the stuff that you're actually good at, like to do, and so on.
That's great. So, Mike, what would you say the key takeaways are for this week? Let's say somebody's going to go create one new simple system. Maybe they're going to take one of ours because they get a lot of packages sent, or they need to follow up with some of their family members they haven't been calling lately, or get a better system for doing their journaling, or creating one of their own. What would you say people out there should be thinking about this week when creating a new personal system?
Well, I think the most important thing is to actually develop that system's mindset. You can take one of our systems, but if you don't understand the system's mindset, there's a good chance that it probably won't stick. But if you can develop that system's mindset and you can begin to see the system's problems for what they really are, system's problems, it's not just random events that happen to you that cause you to be late for picking up your kids from school or being late to the meeting or whatever. It's usually the result of a broken system. But if you could just start to whenever something like that happens, look back and say, okay, why did this happen? I think that's the key takeaway. If you can understand why, then you can start to down the road develop the systems to fix those things. But you need to know what the problem is first.
Okay. So maybe go out and try to find two or three broken systems, find the root cause of those would be more beneficial than just trying to build one system.
Yeah, I think so. Because if you can develop that mindset, you can address the specific problems that are inherent in your systems. Like, we can talk about the systems that we have and the problems that we've solved, and they might provide a little bit of value to some of the listeners, but the ones that are going to really provide the biggest return on investment are the ones that solve the biggest problems in your specific situation. But we can't tell you what that is. You have to recognize that. But if you can start to develop the ability to see the problem and then drill down deeper and say, why is this happening? Okay, now we know why it's happening. How do I fix this? And then we can develop an automated system that would take care of that.
Yeah, and just to get people pointed in the right direction, the easiest way to get started is just to join the webinar that Mike is hosting.
Oh, yeah. All right. So if you want to attend that webinar, you can find it in the show notes or go to theproductivityshow.com/personal-systems. Didn't even realize we were going to put the systems in there, but it seems like a good idea for now. So... Tan and Mike, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some systems with me. Thank you for making me spend a few more dollars in my on the App Store. And I look forward to connecting with you guys next week.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Thanks. See ya.